Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners, welcome back with me Mariati. We will accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we will present some segments to you, beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting info, as well as Indonesian songs. Well listeners, we begin with news. And stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo mulls over forming investment export ministry. Indonesian President states the release of Siti Aisyah is a long process. Indonesia launches National Plastic Action Partnership. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Donald Pane. Indonesian President Joko Widodo is mulling over a formation of a ministry specifically for investment and export affairs. The reason, the president was asked by the country's investment and export value that was far below neighboring countries such as Malaysia, Thailand, Singapore, the Philippines, and Vietnam. As quoted by Tempo.co, President Joko Widodo during his opening speech in a National Investment Coordination Meeting at Nusantara Hall, Indonesia Convention Exhibition, ICE, Bumi Serpong Damai, South Tangerang, Banten on Tuesday, President Joko Widodo said many countries had a particular minister for investment and export affairs in a bid to boost their economic growth. Joko Widodo deemed that investors were reluctant to invest in the archipelago due to issues on the investment permit. For example, the trade war between the United States and China triggered furniture business departed from China and into Vietnam. Indonesian President Joko Widodo stated that the release of Siti Aisyah, an Indonesian citizen, from the charges of murdering Kim Jong-nam is a long process. That was said by President Joko Widodo at the Bogor Presidential Palace on Monday. He said that the release of Siti Aisyah actually required quite a difficult process. However, the president ensured that Siti Aisyah is not included in the free network that planned the assassination against Kim Jong-nam. In a trial at the Supreme Court of Shah Alam Selangor, Darul Ihsan, Malaysia, led by Judge Dato' Azmi bin Arifin on Monday, public prosecutor Muhammad Iskandar bin Ahmad withdrew the charges against Siti Aisyah, which the case was started on March 1, 2017. Present at the trial were Indonesian Ambassador to Malaysia Rusdi Kirana, Director of the Indonesian Citizens Protection of the Foreign Ministry, Lalu Muhammad Iqbal, and Head of the Task Force for Indonesian Citizens Protection in Kuala Lumpur, Yusron B. Ambari. Coordinator of Siti Aisyah's lawyers team, Goishun Sang, said that he is happy with the judge's decision and Siti Aisyah can soon return to Jakarta. Indonesian government launches National Plastic Action Partnership. This initiative is part of commitments of Indonesian Coordinating Ministry of Maritime to reduce sea plastic garbage up to 70% in 2025. Coordinating Maritime Minister Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, at press conference of National Plastic Action Partnership in Jakarta on Monday, said that the program has great beneficial.
Dan ini sebenarnya tindak lanjut daripada pertemuan kita di Bali. Ya, di
the program is actually the follow-up of the meeting of Indonesian Coordinating Ministry of Maritime in Bali. For Trihita Karana Forum at the annual meeting of IMF World Bank has succeeded to raise funds until $10 billion. How is the implementation? Currently, the budget is used for projects. The target of government to alleviate plastic is 70% until 2025. We have to implement it and we have to work hard. Seeing the program, there has given improvement in education and school curriculum. Moreover, Indonesia also has an action plan which has been issued. On the same occasion, representative of World Economy Forum, Douglas Wofri, appreciated the launch of National Plastic Action Partnership. He said the program can provide solutions that could be invested as the target of Indonesian government to eradicate plastic garbage. The Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry expects a deadline in the export of mineral resources this year because of production cuts by large mining companies. The Ministry's Mineral Business Supervision Director, Yunus Saiful Haq, said two major copper and gold miners, PT Freeport Indonesia and PT Aman Mineral Nusa Tenggara, for example, would scale back copper concentrate production as stated in their annual work program and budget reports. Yunus, after attending a meeting at the House of Representatives in Jakarta on Monday, said that they plan to decrease their production this year. Freeport Indonesia will reduce output over the next few years as it transitions from open pit mining to underground mining. Last year, the country had targeted production of 1.88 million tons of copper concentrate, but only exported 1.81 million tons. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Coordinating Economic Minister Darmin Nasution has stressed that the trade war between China and the United States has badly affected and will continue to affect Indonesia's exports as both countries will import less from Indonesia as they experience economic slowdowns. As quoted by JakartaPost.com, Minister Darmin in Jakarta on Monday said that China is Indonesia's largest export destination, while the U.S. is number two. He said both countries are facing economic slowdowns because of trade war. The minister said he would not dare make any estimates about Indonesia's export, although he maintained that the country's economy could grow by 5.3% this year. This will have impacts on Indonesia's exports, but the severity of the impact on Indonesian economic growth will also depend on the country's imports. Finance Minister Sri Mulyani has said that the government continued to expedite the bill concerning the salary hike for the civil servant, which is amounted to 5% this year. As quoted by Tempo.co, Sri Mulyani at the Parliament Complex, Jakarta on Monday said that the government will finish it as soon as possible. The minister ensured that the budget is ready because it had been listed in the 2019 state budget. During a plenary meeting on the 2019 state budget in August last year, President Joko Widodo announced the government would raise the basic salary and basic pension for state civil apparatus, including civil servants and retirees, by 5% on average in 2019. Sri Mulyani also said the regulation would be stipulated in the government decree. The operator of Mandalika International Circuit, Indonesia Tourism Development Corporation, ITDC, stated that the construction of the MotoGP circuit could not be separated from the sports and entertainment district. ITDC President Director Abdul Bar Mansur said that his company, in tandem with Vinci Construction Grants Project, would construct the circuit and various facilities in the area of Mandalika, West Nusa Tenggara. He further said the investment value to build this district amounts to $1 billion for 15 years, and the total investment reached some 14.23 trillion rupiahs. Abdul Bar explained that ITDC would initially build the circuit road in October 2019. Then, Vinci Construction Grants Projects would continue. The road paving process is based on the International Motorcycling Federation and International Automobile Federation. Moreover, Abdul Bar said the construction of the main route and supporting facilities, such as the drainage system and the energy and telecommunication network, would take 6 to 9 months. Well, listener, that's the news.
This is RRI, Voice of Indonesia, in commentary. The title for today's commentary is Advancing Indonesian Books Through International Book Exhibition. Listener, Indonesia participates again in the London Book Fair. At present, Indonesia is bringing 450 book titles in an exhibition held at Olympia, Kensington, London on 12 up to 14 March 2019. Indonesia's presence becomes special because Indonesia is chosen as the first country from Southeast Asia to receive priority as market-focused country. The Creative Economy Agency, as the representative of the Government of the Republic of Indonesia, prepares around 100 events to promote Indonesia's presence in the exhibition that Indonesia has participated in since 2016. Chairman of the Creative Economy Agency, Triawan Munaf, said that participating in the exhibition is an effort to encourage Indonesia's creative economy products worldwide, especially in the literature. He wants the Indonesian literature to go international and at the same time to attract foreign people to come. There are specific targets to be achieved by Indonesia in the 2019 London Book Fair, the biggest exhibition for the sale of copyrights. Indonesia targets 50 titles to be sold for copyrights. Chairman of the National Book Committee, Laura Bangun Prinsloo, affirmed that the target of 50 book titles for the 2019 London Book Fair might sound not many, but actually, the target is already quite high, considering that Indonesia has only participated in this exhibition starting in 2016. That number will add to 1,200 titles sold to foreign publishers over the last 5 years. In the past few years, Indonesia has always been present at the International Book Exhibition. Indonesia routinely takes part in the Frankfurt Book Fair. In 2018, the copyrights for the publication of 36 titles were purchased by several countries participating in the oldest book exhibition. Indonesia is also present at the Beijing International Book Fair. In the Brunei 2019 book exhibition, thousands of Indonesian book titles were sold. The presence of the works of Indonesian writers in international book exhibitions must be improved, because through their work, the world community can get to know Indonesia more with its diversity of cultures, tribes, and religions. Books have become a means of promotion and diplomacy for the wealth of more than 17,000 islands in Indonesia. The presence of works by Indonesian writers in the international arena is expected to increase the number of world-class writers. Take for example, Pramodya Anantatur is a well-known writer who successfully published at least 50 works, and his books have been translated into 41 foreign languages. In addition, the writer such as Andrea Hirata also successfully introduced one region in Indonesia, Belitung, through his book Laskar Pelangi, which has been translated into 34 foreign languages and published in 130 countries. Taufik Ismail's poem entitled With My Poetry has been translated into 52 foreign languages. Listeners, more importantly, through books by Indonesian writers, Indonesia's display will be more open and more readers and lovers of the world book will look into it. That's commentary read by Ahmad Faisal.
Hello, listeners. Nice to be with you again in our regular program Today in History over Radio World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, it started an event on March 12, 1920, when Sun Yat-sen passed away. Dr. Sun Yat-sen was a leader of China's revolution and recognized widely as a state's father of modern China, either in the mainland of China or in Taiwan. He was born November 12, 1866 and passed away on March 12, 1925 in the age of 58 years. At the time, China was governed by an emperor who ordered as if he were a god. Sun Yat-sen believed that China needed to be managed with a new way through revolution. In 1895, he led rebellion in Canton, and it could be muted. Overall, he led 12 times revolution against dynasty of Qing, and finally succeeded to subvert the empire so that the emperor had to be resigned. China became Republic of in 1911, which was established by Sun Yat-sen. He also founder of the oldest party in the Chinese modern history, Kuomintang, KMT, and became president in 1912. And in 1923-1925, Dr. Sun Yat-sen passed away due to suffering from cancer. And the next event was in 1967 when the Assembly of the Provisional People's Council Assembly, MPRS, appointed General Suharto to become a president. Provisional People's Council Assembly, MPRS, was the forerunner of People's Council Assembly, the highest legislation of the state of Indonesia. It was established based on Presidential Decree on July 5, 1959, which was issued by Indonesian past President Sukarno. When Indonesian President Sukarno delivered an accountability speech before the 4th General Assembly in 1966, the speech entitled Nawaksara, in fact, did not satisfy the Assembly as mandate provider. Finally, the Assembly rejected and dismissed Sukarno as President. Then the Assembly conducted a special session on March 12, 1967 to dismiss President Sukarno as President, and based on the Assembly's mandate, it then chose and installed Lieutenant General Suharto as President of or mandatory in accordance with the Article 3 of the Provisional People's Consulta Assembly Stipulation No. 9, 1966, and instructed the judicial bodies to conduct legal observation, hearings and prosecutions. And the last event is that in 2003, the Prime Minister of Serbia, Zoran Dindit, was killed in Belgrade. Zoran Dindit from Serbia, Srilic, was Prime Minister of Serbia, mayor of Belgrade, politician and philosopher. He was as the fifth Prime Minister of Serbia from January 25, 2001 until March 12, 2003. On March 12, 2003, he was killed in Belgrade. The assassination was related to the event of chaos and the tension between Serbia and the Yugoslav state of transition and its policies of the government. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening. Cinta, mengapa kau menatapku dengan manja? Indah parasmu menghangatkan suasana. Hari pun
segalanya. Yeah. Bibirnya yang merah merona, indah senyumnya buatku terpana. Suara hatinya yang mempesona, buatku kehilangan kata. Ku berjalan menuju arahnya, melihat dirinya yang istimewa. Setiap langkahku menuju selamanya. Yeah. Wajahmu, senyummu, halangan peluk tubuhmu, kesamu, belaimu, membuatku selalu rindu. Lepaskan semua masalahmu, tinggalkan semua masa lalu. Berhenti, 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 hentikan waktu di dekatku. Cinta, mengapa kau menatapku manja, indah parasmu menghangatkan suasana. Oh, hari semakin terasa berwarna, dunia segalanya. Oh yeah, bibirnya yang merah-merona, indah senyumnya buatku terpana. Suara hatinya yang mempesona, buatku kehilangan kata. I just walk besides an epic creature. To be clear, you're my angel in disguise. Woo! Flawless beauty like the sun when it arises. Don't need no makeup, put your head down, 'cause that beauty of yours make other girls frown. I wanna tell you that I love you, I need you, I want you, I cater for you, and I'm gonna be there when the sun is down.
That was the first song entitled Flawless or Merona, sung by Adrian Holif. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Today, citizen, we will give you information on My Indonesia with the topic Indonesia and UNRWA signed an agreement on Indonesia's humanitarian contribution to Palestine refugees. Read by Faisal.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is RI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to My Indonesia. The title of My Indonesia for today is Indonesia and UNRWA signed an agreement on Indonesia's humanitarian contribution to Palestinian refugees. Listener, Minister of Foreign Affairs of Republic of Indonesia, Retno Marsudi, and General Commissioner of United Nations Relief Works Agency, or UNRWA, Pierre Krangenbul, signed an agreement on Indonesia's humanitarian contribution to ex-Gazans Palestinian refugees at Jerash Camp, Jordan, on Tuesday. The website of kemenlu.go.id reported that Indonesia's humanitarian contribution worth $1 million will be given to help the need of food and health for Palestinian refugees. In a meeting with UNWRS General Commissioner, Minister Retno Marsudi said that Indonesia's contribution show Indonesia's togetherness and commitment to continue to help the Palestinian people. She affirmed that the Palestinian issue is at the heart of Indonesia's foreign policy and is a concern of the Indonesian people. She also expressed her appreciation for UNRWS participation in the Solidarity Week for Palestine event, which was held by the government and the Indonesian people in Bandung and Jakarta last October 2018. The activity was also attended by Palestinian Foreign Minister Riyad Maliki. In the event, UNRWA held meetings with various stakeholders in Indonesia regarding humanitarian fundraising for Palestinian refugees. Early 2018, UNRWA stated about the funding crisis of more than $449 million. This year, UNWRA's lack of funding for its program activities reaches around $211 million. Indonesia will continue to provide support to the Palestinian people both in the form of financial assistance and capacity building programs. Previously, Minister Meretno at a meeting with the Palestinian ambassador to the United Nations, Riyad Mansour, in New York, USA, confirmed Indonesia's commitment to continue to contribute to UNRWA. She said that Indonesia's contribution to UNRWA needs to be increased, considering that the United States, which supplies 30% of the agency's total expenditure budget, has decided to stop funding assistance for UNRWA since September 2018. Minister Retno Marsudi also explained that the same problem that would be faced in 2019 is the lack of funds needed by UNRWA to manage refugees, which numbered more than 5 million people. According to her, Indonesia is ready to contribute at least the same amount as last year. She said Indonesia's contribution to UNRWA will continue to be increased to $2 million, or around 29 billion rupiah for UNRWA. That's My Indonesia, read by Ahmad Faisal.
melakukan semua inginku.
That was the second song entitled Satu Mimpiku, sung by The Groove. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, for the next segment, we will present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom. Listeners, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today, I'd like to introduce Kompiang cake, a typical cake of East Nusa Tenggara. Labuan Bajo is one of the most popular destinations among tourists in East Nusa Tenggara. Mostly tourists visit Labuan Bajo to discover the Komodo dragon, an endangered reptile, which can only be found there. Besides discovering the Komodo dragon, visitors can also explore the remarkable panorama of Labuan Bajo, particularly the beauty of its underwater. In addition to offering incredible scenery, Labuan Bajo is home to various delicious traditional foods that you must try. One of them is Kompiang cake. The cake tastes even more delicious when you eat it with a cup of traditional Labuan Bajo coffee. Kompiang cake shapes like an oval. It has brown color resulted from the baking on the oven or charcoal oven. One of the sides of kue kompiang is sprinkled by sesame seeds, or known as longa. Kompiang taste is quite plain, so it will be better to have it with a cup of coffee. The texture of the cake is compact. Although the cake is not hollow, it tastes soft when it is chewed. At first, Kompiang was home culinary, but it has been more popular as the traditional gift from Labuan Bajo Manggarai. The cake can last up to 3 days in normal temperature. If it is kept in the refrigerator, it can last until 7 days. For each portion, Kompiang costs 1,000 to 2,000 rupiah. The process of making Kompiang is quite simple. The ingredients include flour, sugar, yeast, butter, salt, full cream milk, sesame seeds, and water. First, we mix all the ingredients, then stir them with mixer for 10 to 15 minutes. After that, we shape the dough from the mixture that has been evenly mixed. Then, we bake the dough which we have shaved for 10 to 15 minutes, and take it from the oven. Gompyang tastes better when it is served hot. Don't worry, we can reheat the cake by frying it again. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder about Gompyang cake. See you on our next edition. Sampai jumpa. have just listened to the third song entitled Senandung Senandika, sung by Malik and the Essentials. For the next segment, we will present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia or Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Welcome to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, a segment that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to converse in Indonesian. This program is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, RRI Overseas Broadcasting Station, and the Language Development and Development Agency of the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is membeli tiket, or in English, buying a ticket. Next, I will give an example of a conversation entitled Membeli Tiket, or in English, Buying a Ticket. Tony is at the ticket box to enter Prambanan Temple in Yogyakarta. However, ticket sales counters for foreign and domestic tourists are different. Penjaga loket. Punya KTP? Tony. KTP? Apa itu? Penjaga loket. Kartu tanda penduduk. Kartu identitas untuk warga negara Indonesia. Tony. Oh, saya tidak punya. Penjaga loket. Oh, kalau begitu loket wisatawan asing ada di sana. After listening to the conversation, I will introduce a phrase and vocabulary related to today's theme, namely membeli tiket. Or in English, buying a ticket. I will say the words two times and you may repeat after me. Wisatawan asing. Wisatawan asing, which means foreign tourist. Kartu identitas. Kartu identitas. Identity card. KTP. KTP. Kartu tanda penduduk. Identity cards. Apa itu? Apa itu? What is that? Warga negara Indonesia, warga negara Indonesia, Indonesian citizen. When the counter guard asks about the identity card, he will say, punya KTP? Punya KTP, which means have a KTP? And because Tony is a foreigner, then he can say KTP, apa itu? KTP, apa itu? Which means KTP, what is that? When you don't know something or the meaning of a word or in spoken language, you can ask like Tony, KTP, apa itu? KTP, apa itu? Which means KTP, what is that? Or you can also say KTP, apa itu? Which means KTP, what is that? Before ending, let's speak Bahasa Indonesia today. For more details, let's listen to the example of the conversation once more. Penjaga loket. Punya KTP? Tony. KTP? Apa itu? Kartu tanda penduduk, kartu identitas untuk warga negara Indonesia. Oh, saya tidak punya. Oh, kalau begitu, loket wisatawan asing ada di sana. That was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Indonesian language. We'll meet again tomorrow with a different topic. Thank you for listening.
Ku pandang raut wajahmu, ada sesuatu mengganggu. Nampak jelas bahwa kamu selalu menggerutu, menggerutu. Pandang raut wajahmu, ada sesuatu mengganggu. Nampak jelas bahwa kamu selalu menggerutu, menggerutu. Takkan baik bila kamu sudah tak tahan begitu. Tak perlu menunggu waktu untuk kau berlalu, kau berlalu, kau berlalu, kau berlalu.
Was Takkan Apa sang by Yura Yunita. You still tune the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Next, we inform you about Indonesian music. Listeners, today we would like to present you a song entitled Bunga Selasih. The song Bunga Selasih was composed by Iran YM. The lyrics are poem made from introduction and content. The symbol Bunga Selasih or Selasih flower is used in the song to represent its message. So that's why the song is named Bunga Selasih. Many of the lyrics in this song are repeated. Bunga Selasih sounds like a classical Malay song, especially it contains Malay proverb saying, bagaikan pungguk merindukan bulan, which means the wish for someone whom we love to love us back. The proverb symbolizes the message of the song that is about unrequited love. The music sounds gloomy, and it has low tempo. Listeners, let's listen to song Bunga Selasih by Silaturahmi. Enjoy the song. Listeners, thank you for listening our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave on frequency 3325 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fanpage, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia, Twitter, at voiindonesia. And also send your email to voi@voinews.id.